Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And welcome to the program here this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, I was all fired up. I was ready to come in this morning and give a lucky North Carolinian some tax advice on winning the Powerball.
Well, I think there were two that won $1 million or maybe the $2 million ticket. So
oh, great.
There's still
great
some out there that need some advice.
I know. I woke up this morning and saw that one person in Massachusetts won. I was like, holy cow. What a life changer.
And you do need specialized help if you win something big like that.
That's exactly right, especially. Right. I read it would be more money if they take the lump sum payout than any athlete ever other than Alex Rodriguez. So I thought that
in
was
their whole contract, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, for their whole career. So yeah. Pretty wild there. Pretty big money. Congratulations to the lucky Massachusetts winner.
Yeah, one ticket.
So instead, we'll talk about penalties today.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
So typically, Ben, you know, we discuss failure to pay and failure to file penalties. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones we kind of stress because sometimes individuals.
Speaking along those same lines, the earlier this week was the anniversary of the first Survivor show. Mm-hmm. Richard Hatch won $1 million. He got in trouble with the IRS for not reporting.
That's right. He did. He did. Mm-hmm. He thought he could kind of sneak under the radar, I guess.
Yeah. The only name I remember out of that show.
I know, exactly. And so anyways, the penalties that we typically stress on, Ben, are the failure to file and failure to pay penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we always encourage our listeners, make sure you get that return filed, even if you can't pay, so you can at least avoid the failure to file penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as taking, getting the penalties removed, there's usually a couple different ways. One way is what we call first time penalty abatement.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that you filed and paid your taxes for the 3 prior years.
Right.
Then you can get one automatic penalty waiver.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is just ask for it. It's automatic. It's one simple way if you just have a blip on the radar to get your penalties waived.
Hmm.
The other way that you would remove penalties is through what we call a reasonable cause analysis. And as long as you can prove that you acted in a reasonable manner, and that you were, you exercised
right.
your responsibilities, then, and there's a set formula that you can do, then you can sometimes avoid, penalties that have been asserted. And this morning, I've got another penalty that just wanted to make our listeners aware of, and it's called the accuracy penalty.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's under Section 6662A, and basically, if someone's underpayment is due to negligence or disregard of the rules or regulations, and negligence for these purposes is the failure to exercise due care
mm-hmm.
or the failure to do what a reasonable person would do under the circumstances. That's kind of the standard for the accuracy-related penalty. And the best way to put this penalty in perspective is this is the one to kind of slap you down when you do something that you should have known better.
Right.
Is the kind of the short answer of this one. So that's, it's to keep people in compliance where they're not going to take a tax position that's just completely out of the realm of reasonableness.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I've got a simple little case just to kind of show how this penalty can come into play.
Right.
And I've got a gentleman by the name of Matthew Bell, and he has a friend, and his friend says, "Hey, you got to call my tax preparer. She's just so awesome. I get the biggest refunds I've ever gotten. Just give her a call,
mm-hmm.
Send her your information and see what she can do for you." And so Matthew Bell calls up Pam Williams. She says, "Yes, yeah, send me your information. Let's see what we can do." Well, Matthew Bell's a simple just W-2 employee.
Right.
So fairly straightforward stuff on his return.
Mm-hmm.
May have some deductions that you want to go over. Obviously, income is set.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sends the W-2 and says, "Here's what I've got." It showed $127,000 of income. He had about $20,000 of withholding.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls him back and says, "Oh, I got you covered, Matt. Don't worry about it. My fee, however, is going to be based on the percentage of the refund that I can get you."
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "I think I can get you about an $18,000 refund."
Really?
Yeah. And he goes, "Whoa, wait a second. You know, my old preparer can never come close to that. You're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing." And she goes ahead and prepares the return and shows $127,000 in wages. So she got that
part right.
And then shows a $54,000 business loss and a $29,000 of unreimbursed expenses, which Ben, he didn't have a business. He was a W-2 employee.
Huh. So she just pulled that out of thin air then.
So she's just basically going down the fraud train right now. And of course, Matthew's like, oh man, this is great. You know, this is fantastic. And she's in, and they submit the return. He gets the, an $18,000 refund, pays her the 20%, which is about $4,000 for the preparation of the return. Goes about his merry way thinking, oh man, this is fantastic. She's the best thing since sliced bread. What do you think happened?
Well, he's still got to review it, though, right? I mean,
guess what?
Yeah.
Gets the old audit letter in the mail.
Yeah, I bet.
And the service is saying, we want to take a closer look at your return and make sure that what you put on there is appropriate. And the reason is because Ben, he was going right along, his W-2 employee, you know, his returns were very, very consistent. That's exactly right. Very, very consistent with his returns. And then all of a sudden, boom. There's a huge business loss that comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big old red flag that's going to wave. And of course, he goes in for his audit and he's got nothing. I mean, he's got no paperwork to back up a loss. He's got, some unreimbursed employee expenses, that he can prove, but not $29,000 worth. And so pretty much, Ben, he's left just conceding and saying, yeah, okay, that $18,000 refund I got, I owe the service back that amount.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
plus penalty and,
but guess what?
Yeah.
As what I told you, kind of the smack on the wrist, here's a $3,600 accuracy related penalty that's going to come into play. And so he says, okay, well, I owe the money IRS, but I'm going to go to tax court over this accuracy related penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for him to prove that, that he shouldn't have to pay the $3,600 penalty, he has to show that has reasonable cause for the abatement and that he acted in good faith. And so, they look at the service when they're looking at these, they look at the taxpayer's efforts to assess the proper tax liability, the knowledge and experience of the taxpayer, and any reliance on the advice of a professional tax preparer.
Right.
So he cues in on this element number three and says, well, listen, you know, I didn't do my return myself. I hired someone to do my return.
Right.
I went to her. I relied upon her advice that she gave me. And you know, I didn't know any better. What do you think the service said on that one?
Yeah, I don't think they agreed with that argument. because he's got to review it.
You're right, Ben.
He's got to sign it.
Yeah, and we talk about this a lot, which is you sign your name on that tax return under the penalty of perjury.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an obligation, regardless of whether you hire someone to do your taxes.
Say, how did you come up with this?
To make sure that it's accurate. I mean, if you see something that's just wild and outlandish on your return, you know, you have a duty to inquire and basically figure out, like, where did that come from? And just make sure that, you know, you understand it and that, you know, that there's a reasonable explanation for the deduction that's being taken on the return. I mean, here, you know, I can give the service a hard time about, you know, docking certain deductions, but an imaginary business?
Yes, right.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, that one's going to get hit 100 times out of 100. They're going to knock that one down. And so they, you know, in the opinion, they also mentioned that he was college educated. He had a history of hiring another preparer to prepare his return.
Right.
And they never, you know, had
offered this
$18,000 refund. Right. So he knew pretty much what he was paying every year. Nothing's changed substantially on his return. He didn't switch jobs. He didn't start a new business. None of that stuff was true. But one of the big things they keyed in on is the fact that he, you know, that the preparer wanted a percentage of the refund that they were able to get him as their fee. And so, you know, I would just warn our listeners, that's a huge, huge, huge red flag. If you go to a preparer, you know, typically there's a standard set fee for, you know, an independent contractor, a W-2 employee, you know, depending on what kind of return they're filing, there's just kind of a set fee for that type of stuff, assuming that it's just preparation of a return.
Now, so, I know some listeners are saying, well, does he have a cause of action against the preparer?
No, certainly. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I would say that you hire this person for their expertise and knowledge. And now look what he's out, Ben.
Yeah.
He's out $4,000 that he paid her, which he's going to have to go get through the courts.
Yeah.
And then he's out $3,600 more dollars for this accuracy related penalty. So this was an $8,000 lesson, more or less, for him, and with hopes that he can maybe get back the four. But
does he? I would imagine he has interest too on the $18,000 he owed.
Certainly, yeah. And I mean, that one's one that I tell listeners, I mean, the interest is not going to be recoverable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe interest on penalties, if you can get penalties waived, is going to come back to you, but not on just straight standard
right.
interest. So he learned a tough lesson that if something sounds too good to be true,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it probably is. And you know, if someone comes to you and says, "I got this great tax preparer,"
yeah.
you better check and make sure that what they do on your return is correct.
I've never used a preparer, so does the preparer's name show up on the tax return and all that too? So they're probably, I imagine, they're reviewing a lot of her returns.
I'm sure. Yeah, she's probably that got the old. You know, I mentioned the red flag of the of the business deduction. Well, you got the red flag now of the preparer,
uh-huh.
and I'm sure that the service keyed in and pulled all of the returns that she had been preparing, knowing that this was kind of her scheme.
I would imagine.
And there's also, by the way, just to let everyone know, there's preparer penalties as well.
Yeah.
So the service has the ability to go in and say, you know, if there's a pattern, if there's mm-hmm. a consistent, if a preparer consistently prepares returns with issues and problems,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can get hit as well. So that's a reason for them to uphold the you know, their standard and make sure the advice they give is
I bet
is
this
good.
Guy's buddy who recommended her isn't on his on his favorites list any longer.
Either. Not going to make the Christmas
probably
card list this year, I would imagine.
Unfriended on.
That's right. So you know, I mean, this is interesting. It's a, you know, accuracy related penalties can be overcome,
mm-hmm.
but you got to act in a reasonable manner, and okay. this just was unreasonable.
Thanks for joining us here. If you want to find out more about taking care of your tax issues, you want to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law and speak to Andrew Foster, afoster@harvellandcollins.com. Again, go to harvellandcollins.com for more information.